The Sunday concert is at 2 o'clock this afternoon. 1 o'clock now, and a summary of the news. 25 senior local Conservatives have written to David Cameron, urging him to shelve plans to legalise gay marriage until after the next election. A delegation is delivering a protest letter to Downing Street, warning that there's growing discord within the party about the issue, which could cause significant damage at the ballot box. MPs are due to vote on same-sex marriage on Tuesday. David Cameron will begin 2 days of talks with the leaders of Afghanistan and Pakistan this evening, aimed at overcoming mistrust between the two countries and supporting the Afghan peace process. The Prime Minister will host a dinner with Hamid Karzai and Asif Ali Zardari at Chequers tonight, ahead of formal discussions tomorrow. In Iraq, at least 16 people are reported to have been killed in a suicide car bomb attack on police headquarters in the northern city of Kirkuk. Medical officials say 70 others were wounded. France says its warplanes have bombarded Islamist bases in Mali near the northern town of Kidal. French and Malian forces are trying to secure the area, which is the last Islamist stronghold following the fall of Timbuktu and Gao. The bombardment follows the French President François Hollande's visit to Mali yesterday. Trained negotiators are trying to free a 5-year-old boy taken hostage 5 days ago in the American state of Alabama. The gunman is holding the boy in an underground bunker at his home in Midland City. He'd earlier shot dead a school bus driver. The kidnapper has been named as Jimmy Lee Dykes, a Vietnam veteran. Environmental officials in Western Australia say they've used the distress call of a young dolphin to lure a large pod of the animals to safety after it appeared they would strand themselves in shallow water. Officials caught the juvenile dolphin and took it out to deeper water, where its distress calls enticed the rest of the pod to follow. And the weather: sunny spells will develop in central and northern England and eastern Scotland, but it'll stay cloudy and damp elsewhere. Winds will strengthen across the UK overnight, with gales and increasingly wintry showers in Scotland. Other areas will become largely dry. And that's the Radio 3 news and weather, with the time at a little after 2 minutes past one. Well, now for the early music show, and today Lucy Skeeping's looking at the life and music of a much neglected 17th century composer.
Harpsichordist David Pollock with a short toccata by Purcell. Not Henry, though. That was actually by Daniel Purcell, a composer who for generations we all thought was Henry's brother, but now turns out to be his cousin. 11 years younger than his famous relative, poor old Daniel has lived in Henry's shadow for more than 3 centuries. But thanks to a new disc, which includes some of his chamber music never recorded before, well, it seems that he's at last getting the chance to emerge as a serious composer in his own right. We're looking at some of his life and career in today's programme, but first, let's hear another of his pieces from that same new disc. It's David Pollock on the harpsichord again, this time joined by the violinist Hazel Brooks in a sonata in A major.
Thank you.
A sonata in A major from Daniel Purcell's 1698 collection of six sonatas for violin or recorder. Hazel Brooks was the violinist with harpsichordist David Pollock in the first ever recording of the piece. So, Daniel Purcell wasn't Henry's brother at all, as previously thought, but his younger cousin, the son of Henry's paternal uncle, Thomas. The confusion may have arisen because in the preface to a collection of cantatas, Daniel himself actually refers to Henry as his brother. But in 17th century England, the word brother could also include cousins in the immediate family circle, as it still does in some societies today. So cousin it is, despite what the history books try to tell you. We don't know exactly when Daniel was born. The accepted date is somewhere around the year 1670, when Henry was already 11 years old, which brings us to his style. It's been said that Daniel's music is pretty much like Henry's, but that's not really the case. After all, Daniel lived on for more than 20 years after Henry's death, so he had time to adopt the sort of styles and forms that were really just becoming popular in England at the turn of the 18th century. Modern forms such as the solo sonata or the da capo aria and the Italianate cantata. The cousins did, though, share a similar background when it came to their training. Like so many musicians, both of them began as choristers. Daniel's name appears as a choir boy in the Chapel Royal between 1678 and 1682. And 6 years later, he became organist at Magdalen College, Oxford. In fact, it's a piece of church music that's become Daniel's most famous work today, his Magnificat and Nunc Dimittis. It's been in the liturgical repertoire for 300 years and it's still going strong in church services all over the country. We'll hear it now, sung by Chichester Cathedral Choir, directed by Alan Thurlow.
Thank you.
Daniel Purcell's Magnificat and Nunc Dimittis, sung by the Chichester Cathedral Choir, directed by Alan Thurlow. Daniel Purcell spent 7 years as organist at Magdalen College, Oxford, and it's there that he really began to blossom as a composer, alongside some remarkable choral works like the one we've just heard. He also composed a set of anthems for just one solo voice and organ, of which 11 survive, preserved in a manuscript at the British Library. This one sung by soprano Julia Gooding with organist Timothy Roberts. Oh, let my mouth be filled with thy praise.
Oh,
Oh, let my mouth be filled with thy praise. A solo anthem for voice and organ by Daniel Purcell, the composer cousin of the famous Henry. The soprano was Julia Gooding with organist Timothy Roberts. After 7 years as organist at Magdalen College, Oxford, Daniel Purcell resigned his post and moved to London to work in the theatre. His cousin Henry had died suddenly and very young, and so at short notice, Daniel was drafted in to put the finishing touches to the semi-opera The Indian Queen, which Henry hadn't managed to complete before his untimely death. They certainly worked them hard in those days, in the theatre at least. Over the next few years, Daniel composed music for more than 40 shows, including the 1696 production of John Vanbrugh's play The Relapse or Virtue in Danger, for which he composed a suite of airs, incidental songs that were a vital part of any important new production in this period. The play, of course, is still enormously popular today, but we hardly ever get to hear Purcell's original score, do we? So here's a chance to hear the complete suite now. The soprano Evelyn Tubb providing a couple of particularly cheeky little numbers with the ensemble Sprezzatura.
Thank you. colour streak the face, we may bid farewell to wooing. Use your tiny virgin's fair, choose before your days are evil. 15 is a season rare. 45 is the devil. Just when ripe consent to do it, hug no more the lonely pillow. Women, like some other fruit, lose their relish when too mellow.
Freeing joints for life. Would you?
The ensemble Sprezzatura with the soprano Evelyn Tarb in the suite of airs that Daniel Purcell composed as incidental music to John Vanbrugh's 1696 play The Relapse. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and the focus of today's programme is the life and music of Daniel, yes, Daniel Purcell, the younger cousin of the famous Henry. 4 years after his success with the Vanbrugh play, Purcell entered a public competition to set music for a play by William Congreve, The Judgment of Paris. He may not have won. In fact, he was awarded third prize behind John Eccles and John Weldon. But his entry still survives. And one of the arias, O Ravishing Delight, is still heard quite a bit these days, very much a favourite with countertenors. Here's one of today's leading countertenors, Ryland Angel. Oh, ravishing delight, what mortal can support the sight? Alas, too weak is human brain, so much rapture to sustain.
Rapture to sustain.
countertenor Ryland Angel with that song O Ravishing Delight from the music Daniel Purcell set for William Congreve's play The Judgment of Paris. By the turn of the 18th century, Daniel Purcell had become a hot property on the theatre scene. In 1701, he wrote the incidental music for Catherine Trotter's play The Unhappy Penitent, which was staged at Drury Lane. Trotter was a protégé of Congreve, a novelist and philosopher as well as a playwright, who had much to say on the role and behaviour of women at the time. And the play, her fourth, focused on the rather daring notion that love shouldn't always be a woman's one and only goal in life. One of the pieces Daniel wrote for it is a chaconne, which he arranged for violin or recorder and continuo. And we're going to hear its premiere recording, no less, played by violinist Hazel Brooks with David Pollock on the harpsichord. Violinist Hazel Brooks and harpsichordist David Pollock in The Chaconne by Daniel Purcell, part of his incidental music to Catherine Trotter's tragedy The Unhappy Penitent, first staged at Drury Lane Theatre in 1701. The English certainly love their plays, and particularly when, as was the custom, they featured a nice variety of songs and instrumental music, either in between the acts or perhaps as part of the action. However, once Handel's famous Italian opera company was established in London in 1707, things changed. The introduction of Italian operas upon the English stage, complained Daniel Purcell, has so altered the taste of this nation that scarce anything but what bears some resemblance of the Italian style and manner is received with favour. Certainly, it was now becoming more and more difficult for any English composer to find theatre work. Such was the passion of London audiences for this exotic foreign art form. The writer Thomas Mace also had a view on opera's effect on the old English airs. "They're soon forgot," he wrote, "and in their place is set a great idol, which is fit to make a man's ears glow and fill his brains with frisks." The upshot was that most English composers now found they had to concentrate on church music or chamber music to make a living. And so it was for Daniel Purcell, who cleverly tapped into the still healthy amateur market by producing a set of 6 sonatas for 1, 2, or 3 flutes or recorders and bass. This is the second of the set, played by the Parnassian Ensemble.
Thank you.
Daniel Purcell's Trio Sonata No. 2 in G minor, played there by the four members of the Parnassian Ensemble. So his London theatre work may have dried up, but Purcell continued to have a busy composing career in church and chamber music, and he was evidently quite a presence around town. One of the boys, in fact, according to a jokey correspondence in the Weekly Journal from someone calling himself Signor Allegro, who addresses his friend Purcell as Honest Dan. "I perceive the tenor of your life to be chiefly in taverns," he wrote, "where you will never leave drinking in treble quantity till your hand quavers." The musical puns continue, but now on the subject of the fairer sex. "Time was," writes Signor Allegro, "that we could both of us have played on the virginals, and you, particularly, have been a man of note for your many compositions upon them." I like this fellow, and I'm sure I would have liked Honest Dan Purcell too. And after his death, the compliments kept flowing. His modest and obliging carriage gained him real friends, who always friends remained, went his elegy. In Daniel Purcell, two very rare perfections met: great skill in music and a ready wit. Well, we've just heard one of the six sonatas from Daniel Purcell's 1710 set. They were designated for flutes, but it was common to interchange these with recorders, and with violins too, which is how we're going to end today's programme. Here's the violinist Hazel Brooks and harpsichordist David Pollock performing the solo sonata in B minor by Daniel Purcell. Thank you.
violinist Hazel Brooks and harpsichordist Daniel Pollock, with that solo sonata in B minor by Daniel Purcell. And it brings to a close today's Early Music Show. It was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. And just to say, you can download a free podcast of the programme from the Early Music Show page on the BBC Radio 3 website.
On BBC Radio 3, the first performance of a new work by Mark Anthony Turnage. And also in Radio 3 Live in Concert from London's Barbican Hall, Beethoven's Third Piano Concerto with soloist Lars Vogt. Thursday night on BBC Radio 3 from 7:30.
2 minutes past two, and time now for our Sunday concert. It's presented by Petroc Trelawney.
Hello, welcome to the Bridgewater Hall, where the BBC Philharmonic present a programme infused with sunshine, the sun shining on Spain and California. The orchestra's chief conductor, Juanjo Mena, continues his very personal and highly passionate exploration of the music of his Spanish homeland with the score for Manuel de Falla's ballet, The Three-Cornered Hat. It features a role for mezzo, which will be sung by Clara Moriz. He'll also perform Torina's Poema en Forma de Canciones, a cycle of songs that explores confessions, fear, and the extremes of love. And before that, from Hollywood, the lush richness of Korngold's violin concerto, played by the young French musician Renaud Capuçon. Well, we start with A Flourish with Fireworks, a stylish concert opener from Oliver Nussen, written in 1988 and dedicated to Michael Tilson Thomas for his first season at the helm of the London Symphony Orchestra. It's an act of homage to the orchestra too, where Nussen's father Stuart was once principal double bass, and to Stravinsky, who himself wrote Fireworks and who's been a great influence on Nussen's own music. Zoe Bayers, guest leader of the BBC Philharmonic, taking her place on the platform here at the Bridgewater Hall. And here is Juanjo Mena to open this concert, conducting Flourish with Fireworks by Oliver Nussen.
Thank you.
Well, what a joyful and elegant start to a concert. Oliver Nussen's Flourish with Fireworks. Juanjo Mena conducting the BBC Philharmonic here in Manchester. Erich Korngold had a gilded youth in Vienna. He was 10 when his father, a respected music critic, took him to meet Mahler. Impressed, Mahler arranged for him to have lessons with Zemlinsky, Schoenberg's teacher. Already quite a list of names. And while he was still young, Strauss, Puccini and Engelbert Humperdinck were amongst those who expressed admiration. Korngold first visited Hollywood in 1934 when he was invited to arrange Mendelssohn's music for a film of A Midsummer Night's Dream. When the Anschluss made his life in Vienna impossible, he settled permanently in America. Korngold found working in the movies tough. As he later said, a film composer's immortality stretches all the way from the recording stage to the dubbing room. But when he came to write his violin concerto, it was his cinema music that he turned to for inspiration. The long solo that opens the concerto is taken from the 1937 picture Juarez, a poignant historical tale that starred Paul Mooney as the eponymous Republican and Brian Ahern and Betty Davis as the Habsburg Emperor and Empress of Mexico. The main theme in the second movement, a romance, comes from the epic costume drama Antony Adverse, and the energetic finale is based on the main motif from The Prince and the Pauper, Mark Twain's tale of two identical but very different young men. So here is Renu Capuçon with Juanjo Mena to perform Korngold's Violin Concerto.